Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Lee Gibson. She is a psychic medium. She's an energy healer. She's also an animal communicator. She's a good friend of mine, and I want to welcome her to the show. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hi, Leslie. Thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are so much fun. And guys, we're going to talk today about a haunted house, haunted houses, actually, that Lee has resided in. And guys, this will be our Halloween episode, and it's going to be so much fun. So Lee, take the mic and tell me everything.
Yeah, spooky time.
Yeah.
So the biggest one that occurred, and this was before I was doing this work actively. I've always been a believer in the spirit world. I've always had an interest in mediumship and, yeah, you know, all the things related,
yeah,
and the paranormal especially. And in 2009, we purchased a new home. It had never been lived in. We later found there was a lot of history tied to the land. And
oh,
I think that's where, yeah, all of this ended up coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It had been a spec home. The builder was claiming bankruptcy, so they were basically just unloading things.
Okay.
And we got a ridiculously good price on this home. Gorgeous, beautiful, like when you walk in the foyer, big, spacious, like 30-foot, two-story kind of ceilings.
Wow.
And that's important because the layout of this home was part of how we started to recognize some things were going on there.
Oh.
The master bedroom was on the main level.
Okay.
And then that had a skinny little hallway that opened up to the living room, one little step down into the living room, across that a step up into this big grand kitchen with a large kitchen island.
Okay.
And next to all of that was the steps that went up to the second floor. Immediately at the top of the stairs was my daughter's room.
Mm-hmm.
She was four when we moved in. And catty corner to that was my son's room. He was two when we moved in.
Okay.
Now, she was a night terror kid.
Oh,
so
okay,
a couple times a week, it wasn't uncommon for her to wake up absolutely screaming.
Oh.
We'd have to go get her. So, and he was only two. So when we moved in, we kept the baby monitors. So we had the receiver in our bedroom downstairs,
okay,
and the monitor outside of both of their doors with gates in their doors so that we could hear them clearly if something were to occur. Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's all important because the first year, pushing year and a half or so that we lived there, I've told like a little bit of story on TikTok about like weird glitch in the matrix, who we eventually named Bill, the house ghost playing tricks on us. We didn't know. And we had a series of weird events that were the kind of thing like, you know, us being both believers, David and I both being believers in the spirit world,
yeah,
and the paranormal. Was this weird stuff? Or we would look at each other and go, well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. You know, even now, I'm very much about rule out real life occurrences,
yeah,
that could have created something.
Mm-hmm.
And if none of it makes sense or something bigger happens, that's when we start talking paranormal, right?
Right.
So we had, you know, weird events, you know, he had things go missing and then either show up or never show up down the road. You know, down the hall on the main level was our laundry room and there was a large sink inside it.
Yeah.
There was one night we heard water running, walked around the house trying to find it,
oh,
and walked in there to find that not only was the sink in there running, but something had been shoved down. Now, our kids were too young to reach up into it. It was a tall sink.
Right.
Towels had been shoved down into the base of it, and it was overflowing onto the tile floor.
What?
So just, yeah, just bizarre things like that that we couldn't make sense of.
Oh, my. That would have scared, well, first of all, that would have scared the crap out of me. You know why? Because, you know, first of all, is one thing for water to be running, but another thing for it to be intelligent and going, wait a minute, let me screw with him just a little more and shove some towels into the sink area so it clogs everything up, and now they have another problem on their hands. What the hell, man?
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was part of what was so strange about it was that, you know, there wasn't enough space to have like piled up folded clothes or towels or anything, but this was like a little handful of like hand towels that you, bath towels you'd use in the bathroom, you know? And so it was just very strange. We had,
yeah,
weird things like that. Times that we thought we heard walking upstairs and the dogs would look up the stairs and bark or their, you know, their hair would raise up or something, and
yeah,
just couldn't make sense of it. But again, we were like, no one's ever lived here before. It was an empty spec home. Maybe the house was settling, you know, that,
right,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So one point, pushing about a year and a half into it,
uh-huh,
there's one night, you know, it's probably, I don't know, after 8 p.m. The kids are in bed. My husband went back into our bedroom. He was like, yeah, I'm going to go do some work, do some emails and whatever else. And I think March Madness or I don't know, something like that was on TV. He's like, I'm going to watch some games. I'm going to do some work, whatever. So I'm in the kitchen. And, you know, we had kind of cleaned up a little bit from dinner and I was just finishing that up before I was going to go to the bedroom myself. Okay. Well, I'm facing away from the bedroom and my back is to the living room into the hallway that goes to the bedroom. As I turn around, I see David walk around the little corner to walk down that short little hallway that went to our master bedroom door and went into the bedroom.
Okay.
And I said, oh, hey, David, blah, blah, blah. I, at this point, have no recollection of what I asked him.
Yeah.
But I asked him a question and he just kept going. And I was like, well, that was rude. So
right?
I finished what I'm doing for like, you know, 20 seconds, put the pan away that I was drying off or whatever it was, walk through the living room, which, by the way, made weird squeaky noises over the vents that were underneath, the vent ducts underneath.
Oh.
That came up quite frequently as well. Walk around the corner and into the bedroom, and he's sitting on the bed with his laptop in his lap. And I was like, dude, you just walked away from me when I asked you a question. That was rude, and kind of like giggled because, I mean, I wasn't really being nasty.
Right.
And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I was in the kitchen. When I turned around, I saw you walk into the bedroom and I asked you a question, but you just kept going. Did you not hear me? And he stares at me and I'm like, hello. And he goes, I've been sitting here doing emails and entering expense reports for like 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
What do you mean? He's like, I have not gotten up at all. What are you talking about?
What?
Oh, as no. He's telling me this, yeah, I realize he's not wearing what I saw this person wearing.
No.
And I was like, did you change from long dark pants into those shorts? He's like, no. And I was like, and you weren't wearing a white shirt? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, then who the hell just walked into our bedroom?
Oh, no. What in the, listen, that would have freaked me. And see, the thing is, the whole water thing too, I'd have been so afraid to leave the house because what if they did it when I was gone and then I'm coming back to a flooded house? I mean, any of that, I would have freaked out with the David thing too, because, you know, so he was wearing something totally different, but did it look, did you see his face or just the back of him?
Just the back of him. And it was like kind of one of those, like ever so slightly more than a split second. It was like, okay. I turned around, I saw him walk around the corner.
Yeah.
So that was the extent of it. It was the back of him. And, you know, so as we're staring at each other with our eyes like saucers,
yeah,
we're going, oh my. Okay. So remember that time that this happened? And what about that time we tried to explain that away? And this was after, you know, if somebody goes to my TikTok and they see I very recently did a video about, you know, him losing a suit right after he brought it home and losing like a little hotspot card. And then that showing back up in his briefcase 2 months later. And, you know, so we talk about those things. And we also then start talking about, okay, so when those baby monitors are upstairs, there were times, I mean, they were young, so they were going down at like, I don't know, 7:30 in the evening or something at the time. It would be like 9 o'clock or later, and we would hear stuff through the monitors.
Oh.
And, you know, there were times where we might hear like crying and go upstairs and be like, oh, they're asleep. And maybe Cadence had one of her dreams, but it didn't become a big like night terror or something,
right.
You know? So those we would kind of explain away. We would hear that creaking from the living room, and that was weird. So we'd go check that out, and nobody's downstairs. The gates are still up, and the kids are in bed. But there were also times that we would hear multiple voices, like children voices giggling. And we'd be like,
oh my gosh,
I can't believe those kids aren't asleep in bed yet. Like, what are they doing up?
Right?
And we'd go up there, and they are sawing logs. So we start piecing all of these things together that it happened that first almost year and a half that we were in the house and started going, maybe there really is something else going on here.
Yeah.
Well, then a couple months after that, and I'm going to guess this was, it had to have been Christmas, maybe 2 years after we moved in. So this was like Christmas time or just thereafter, probably near, you know, 2011, moving into 2012.
Okay.
We had hired a couple friends who were contractors to finish the basement because when we first moved in, it was unfinished. They did a beautiful job. And for that Christmas, my parents were incredibly wonderful and beautiful and gave us a massage chair for Christmas that year.
Nice.
We didn't have anywhere good to put it like on the main floor. So we put it down in the one corner of the room in the basement next to a big sectional we had purchased and a TV.
Okay.
Well, one evening, my parents were still there. They were still visiting and the kids had both gone downstairs. So at this point, they're like 5 and 7, I think.
Okay.
They're downstairs in the basement I actually had gone upstairs to Cadence's room. I think I was putting some of her laundry away or something. And David's back in our master bedroom. My parents are both in the living room on the main level. Out of nowhere, the two of them come barreling up the stairs, screaming, "Who was that in the basement? Who's that guy in the basement? Papa, were you just down in the basement?" And so I come out of Cadence's room at the top of this grand foyer, you know, open living room.
Yeah.
And David comes out of the master, and all four of us are like, "What are you talking about? Who do you think you saw?" So, you know, we never talked about the things that were happening in the house in front of the kids because we didn't want them to be afraid of their
right.
home.
Yeah.
So David and I looked at each other and he's like, "I'll take Cadence, you take Andrew. Let's separate them and get the stories of like what happened,
yeah.
you know, and then we'll come back together and talk about this." So we did that. They tell the exact same story. Drew had gotten into the massage chair and he thought it was real funny because, you know, it has kind of like that quick kind of chopping sensation. And yeah. he would sit in it and would go, "Bah, bah, 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 bah." And he'd, you know, open his mouth and make funny noises.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Cadence
right.
would laugh yeah. at him. And, yeah. So he's sitting in the massage chair, which was looking all the way across the basement and over towards the steps that came up to the main level.
Yeah.
Cadence is facing him, playing around with the remote, getting it to do different things. So and they're laughing at each other.
Sure.
And Andrew at, you know, a whopping, what, like, you know, 3-4 years old, points across the basement and goes, "Cadence, look, who is that?" She turns around and they both, I mean, they're like, you know, still as can be. They're watching this man walk from out of nowhere, a wall, walk across the basement, and they explain that they can hear change jingling in his pockets while he has his hands in his pockets. He turns and looks at them with a nasty face, totally mean mugs the kids, then turns his head back in front of him, keeps walking, and then turns left to come up the stairs from the basement back up to the main level. Soon as they see him turn the corner and hear him go up the stairs, they both jump up and they go running. And when they come around the corner to look up the stairs, no one's there.
Oh my gosh.
So that's when they came barreling up the stairs. "Who was that guy? Who's that in the basement? Papa, were you just down there? Who was that?"
Yeah.
And so we're like, "Oh, okay." So he shows himself to me. He shows himself to the kids.
Yeah.
Now, David was the only one who never saw him. But David had, you know, some of his own experiences. We later kind of started to determine that he did not like David and he did not like children. But he never did anything like real nefarious towards me.
Yeah.
He just had presented himself that one time. And I mean, we from that point just kind of experienced like lights going off and on, different sounds that sounded like somebody smacking pans together in the kitchen, but nobody's in there. I mean, just again, more of like the dogs growling and barking up the stairs when no one's there. It was about 3 years worth of constant stuff.
I don't know how. Listen, what'd you find out about the land?
So we found out that there was a farmer at the end of the 18th, turning into the 19th century, who had owned acres and acres and acres, all of that land.
Okay.
His first name was William, so we named him Bill.
Did you know that, though? Did you know that? That his name was William?
We did not. We actually did eventually get, like, a paranormal team to come check the house.
But the fact that you chose Bill, you know?
Right. Well, we hadn't named him Bill until after they did the investigation.
Oh, okay.
So they did the investigation. They found that this man had owned all of this property back, you know, the 18th into 19th centuries.
Okay.
And he had 11 children on that land, and 9 of them had passed before they ever reached adulthood.
Oh.
And so, you know, our thoughts were, well, granted, we didn't have the medical science back at that time. And,
right.
you know, any kind of nasty flu or really bad virus or bug or whatever, right. you know,
yeah.
could certainly. But that's a lot of children to lose in, you know, before they ever reach adulthood.
Oh,
only 2 of them made it to adulthood. Yeah,
yeah.
Just kind of really, really funky stuff. So, you know, eventually once they kind of checked some things out and gave us the history of the land and everything, you know, at that point, we started kind of telling him. And this was the beginning of the experience of me understanding that we do hold the power to kind of like clear out our own spaces
yes.
if we have funky things going on around us, which we'll get to a little bit, because the next house was when I had my first shadow person.
Oh, but, my gosh. You know, and I just did an episode on that. Yeah.
Yeah. We were able to say like, "Hey, Bill, knock it off. You know, you're not welcome here anymore. This is our time and space now." you know, this is not your land any longer. And, you know, we would kind of just really just talk to him and tell him, like, you're not welcome here. And then just kind of stand our ground. If things started to get a little funny again, just stand our ground and say, like, this isn't your space. This isn't yours to own any longer. You can't keep messing with us.
Well, you know, what I was going to ask you is, you know, you were in a neighborhood. Were other people in the neighborhood having the same issues with him?
That's a good question. So, of course, we weren't necessarily willing to talk to like a whole lot of people, but we did have neighbors on one side of us who, you know, they really kind of liked their spirit at the end, the drinking spirits at the end of a long work day. And one night we did kind of sit out back with them, you know, a couple of summers later and just ask like, hey, do you guys ever have anything funny happen in your house? Like, you know, and you know, they kind of goofed with us a little bit back and forth about it. And then eventually the wife said, as a matter of fact, though, sometimes when her husband would have to travel out of town for work, then she would be back in her bedroom. She had gotten into the habit of turning the TV really like loud, really loud all night long and leaving it that way because she would hear things out in their kitchen. And if she got up and went out to their kitchen, all the cabinet doors would be open. And they had no children. It was just the two of them. No children, no animals,
that
no nothing.
That would still freak me out, man. I'm just
I think there was even one time that she said she went out there and there was like a whole bunch of stuff from the refrigerator out on the countertop and the door was open or something to that effect.
What?
I don't remember the specific details,
God. This is not a residual ghost. This is an intelligent ghost doing ghostly planned out things.
I mean, he was, you know, he was like, this is my land and I don't want you here.
I don't want you here, bucko.
These days I go like, how much is like ghost or how much is maybe, you know, other dimensional parallel times kind of overlapping or, you know, you and I have talked before about what's that movie? Is it The Others?
Yes.
Where it's like one set of people is the ghost to the other people and vice versa. Yeah. So I don't have the specific answer. I just know what we experienced and none of it was normal.
Wow. And you know, because he could have been like just in his time doing his thing and all of a sudden you guys are appearing. He's like, I'm losing my mind. I think I'm seeing ghosts. And then you guys are like, we're losing our minds. We think we're seeing this guy named Bill that's a ghost.
He's like, I'm just living on my farm in the 1800s, you know?
Yeah, these kids, just these meddling kids.
These meddling kids, that's right, yeah. So, you know, eventually we were able to move out of that house.
And is that one reason why you did, though, Lee? Is that one reason why?
That was the main reason that we initially put it on the market.
Okay.
And we actually had put it on the market. It sat there for 6 months without a single inquiry. And we were like, Bill, you got to knock it off.
Wow.
you can't keep playing with us this way. And we took it back off the market for a period. And then finally, I want to say it was like August, I think, of 2013.
Okay.
Was when we finally were able to sell it. And I got to tell you, Leslie, this is going to sound a little extra crazy. The last day we were there, David and I had gone over and we were like, you know, just kind of doing the double sweep. Everything's out. Everything's clean, you know, and he said, I'm going to go out to the car, get the car started, turn on the air conditioning. You come out as soon as you, you know, finish gathering that stuff. I'm like, yeah, you go get it cooled down. I'll be right there.
Yeah.
I'm packing the last bits of like, here's this cloth and here's this spray and all the cleaning agents and whatever.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, from down in the basement, I heard this very faint but very noticeable sobbing. And I was like, I'm getting chills right now. I'm out. I am getting out of here right now. And I went whipping through the garage door and flew into the car. And I was like, pull out now. Go.
Do you think that was just, was it like a man sobbing or was it something else?
No, it was the only time we ever heard a female.
Oh,
we
it was had a no, female. And, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And he had been married. And actually the woman he had been married to when they did the search on the land shared the same birthday as David, which we thought was just really interesting and funny, but obviously centuries before, but both of them were the same date. So,
wow.
Yeah. Beth, I think Elizabeth was a little sad that we were going. Maybe we were keeping Bill in line. I'm not sure.
What is so crazy is so many times I've had other psychic mediums on the podcast and they've lived in other haunted houses. And it always seems to be, not always, but it seems to be the people that have gifts, a lot of times they pick up on it a lot quicker, or at least they notice it a lot quicker. Some people maybe ignore it and they just think, oh, the house is settling, like you said, and there's nothing to it, no big deal. But the people that do believe, they get it.
You know?
Well, and see, I think you're really right. And I don't think that it's necessarily that nothing ever happens to people who aren't open or who aren't psychic or who aren't spiritual or believers. I mean, obviously we know stories where they have, but, you know, because we moved out of there and then we actually found a new place because we were like, well, that sold faster than we intended.
Yeah.
And so in October of 2013, we moved into the next house and we had experiences in that house too. And at one point when I finally started to hear about Reiki and really started meditating regularly and then started kind of moving in the direction of where I began actually doing this kind of spiritual and metaphysical practice myself, I had met a woman who was a Reiki master. And she said, you know, the fact that both of you are so spiritually open and, you know, which we now know very in touch with our natural psychic abilities. Yeah. And you and I have talked about, we think everybody has the capacity for
I
it. It's whether you have an interest in it or not, a lot of times, you know. But she said, you know, it's kind of just that, you know, extra beaming light that they kind of come and find.
Yeah, and you guys can see it. So you're like a beacon to them. So they're like, oh, well, they can also see me and I know they can. So I'm going to screw with them and make them wish they were leaving. And you did.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Because, you know, in the next house, I mean, there were a couple times where, you know, Andrew had seen like very prominent bright orbs float down the hallway in front of his bedroom. And, you know, he had actually seen a full body apparition, like the see-through kind of body apparition at one point.
Wow.
You know, Cadence had some of her own experiences and she saw things and, you know, she used to be able to see people's auras and things like that. But in that next house was where, you know, I personally, through a couple years in that house, had been experiencing some really, really difficult long-term mental and emotional health circumstances. I was having very severe anxiety. My best friend and my very, very close work friend both died on the same day before, you know, not long before we moved into that house. I was still very deep in healing through that. My dad was starting to, you know, we were realizing that he was having his diagnosis of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Mm.
We had children who were moving closer towards their teen and adolescent years. And, you know, so that comes with its own challenges.
Yeah.
I had work circumstances, the job that I loved had a manager change. She was making my life a living hell. There were just a lot of things. And I was experiencing panic attacks for the first time in my life.
Yeah, I understand why.
There were just a couple things going on, you know. And not too much in the way of depression, but very severe anxiety, regular panic attacks with very small things that would set them off, PTSD coming up, you know, things of that nature. And I was active in therapy, but until things kind of cleared enough for me to see through the fog and start coming out the other side, I had started to have experiences where I would see something, didn't really look like a person, but just enough like, out of the corner of your eye, you see something move and you look and you don't see it.
Yes.
Or something bolt around the corner when you look, there's nothing really there. Again, sounds. Now, it did escalate to a point where eventually David, and I think it may have been Andrew, both saw like a shadow move through, you know, say there's light shining on one wall.
Yeah.
And they would be looking at that wall with the light shining on it, and they would see what looked like a human-like figure move through that and make a shadow across the wall. But when they turn around, no one's there, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So at first it was only me because I had manifested with my difficulty in my emotional state for an
That's how it happens.
Yep, absolutely. And then it escalated to the point where other people were noticing and experiencing it. And I have to tell you, the creepiest part that ever happened to me, I remember it like so vividly. David was traveling for work. So I was in the bedroom by myself and the kids were in their own rooms. I had gotten up in the middle of the night to go use the restroom, came out. And as I was washing my hands, the closet was over to my right. And I absolutely swear I saw something pop out, like leaning on a diagonal, just like the head and shoulders out on a diagonal and look at me. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, man.
And of course, what else do? You go running and jump in your bed and cover yourself. That's going to protect you from the evil work.
Well, I'd be in the bed with my kids. I mean,
I mean, I know, I if I hadn't had three dogs in the bed with me, I would have gotten up and just gone into Cadence's room and slept in there with her instead. Right? But oh I was God. Like, I just, the thing was that that particular Reiki practitioner who had said, like, you guys are kind of a beacon, you're open yeah. to it, they come find you, she came and helped clear our house. And the one thing that I regret about that was that she did not explain to us how much power we ourselves hold
yes.
in the ability to clear that ourselves, even if you don't do this work. And that's something that ever since then, and I started doing this work, because now I do clear other people's homes and I can even do it from a distance. You would not believe the amount of people's spaces or they themselves that I had to clear, like shadow people or just, I mean, for lack of better term, entities.
Yeah.
Or manifestations of some sort of physicality
yeah.
during COVID lockdown.
Oh.
I had months where I had more appointments doing that than I did readings or healings.
Oh my
God. And I swear to you.
It's an emotional state though, don't you think?
Oh yeah. I fully, fully believe that it was because there were so many people who were really rocked by, you know, what is it that's happening in the world?
Yeah.
People that they knew and loved were getting incredibly ill, being hospitalized, passing away.
Right.
You know, work was different. Life was different. You know, social, I don't even like calling it social distancing. I wish they had called it physical distancing because we could still be social. And I think that that really kind of messed with people's emotional states even worse.
Right. I think that's a great thing because physical distancing sounds way more attainable and understanding of the situation instead of saying socially, you can't talk to anybody in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. You know, like, I mean, we would have some of the kids' friends over if it was nice weather and sit out on the back deck. Like you're still socializing, but you right. just couldn't hug each other, which also stinks. Oh, but,
yeah.
for the safety, you know, it was like, keep a physical distance. You can still be social. I think that that really had an emotional impact, even right. using that terminology.
Well, and they've never seen people get so sick. I mean, they had studied this disease for years. This is just a version of the mRNA or whatever it is that's in the, yeah. But when they saw people that had a weak immune system or had a compromised immune system or whatever, or comorbidities, they were dying. And that was they didn't expect that. And that's why everybody was kind of freaking out. And the medical people were just like, give us time to figure this out. So just stay away from each other. And it was a panic mode for everyone, really.
It was because you had, you know, half of the people really either fearful or just trying to be extra cautious and worried about themselves right. or those they loved who had those physical, you know, issues that could have caused things to be worse. Or you had the other side of people just being angry. So I think that it created such an upheaval in so much sick emotion.
True. Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I can't say that I'm not having some of that come to me right now. And, you know, here we are again in a very, very different circumstance versus, you know, from only being like a big health crisis, but so much emotional crisis, so much division, much anger, so much fear for other reasons where people are, you know, fearing for their lives, fearing for their families and their safety, and so much division with, you know, constant battling over ideologies. And I'm having an uptick in that again. And, you know, that was how you and I kind of started talking about it a little bit, was like, man, you know, people are really kind of experiencing these weird things right now because there's so much going on, especially in the U.S., that I think it's creating another round. Now, it's not to the same degree as what I experienced while everybody was really shut down quite yet. But I think people are experiencing so much emotional upheaval and so much anger and fear that I'm having an uptick in, you know, people messaging me or calling or booking to say, hey, I need help clearing this. And sometimes it's, you know, kind of stuck on themselves. It's like, you know, what usually is termed a spirit attachment, which I think sounds, for some people who aren't familiar, sounds scarier than it really needs to be.
Yeah.
Having a spirit attachment doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm possessed. It's not even remotely close to that.
Okay.
So I want to make that clear for listeners.
Yeah.
But it does mean that there could be some sort of manifestation, or in really extreme cases, I have had circumstances that feel like some sort of multidimensional or interdimensional entity that we do not want in our physical or auric space.
Yeah.
You know, if you are in such emotional turmoil, it kind of opens the door for something to be like, oh, I can feed off of this.
Oh, yeah.
Which then perpetuates the cycle. You know, it's feeding off of the quote unquote negativity, which then feeds more negativity onto the person, which then they feed off of more, and you know, round and round you go. So I think the thing that I want listeners to know about is that if you feel like there's something in your space, and I can even just say, simply sit and close your eyes and take a nice deep few breaths and start to, I call it growing your light. This is one of the easiest ways to do it, to at least as a first defense. Imagine, and even if you can't envision, if you don't visualize in your mind's eye, if you can, imagine you creating light with your body and growing that into a larger and larger and larger bubble until it fills your entire residence.
Okay.
If you can't visualize, imagine the feeling of warmth and love, because you can still imagine what those things feel like, even if you can't see something in your mind's eye, right?
Right.
So grow that. And then I also will do things like, you know, I don't have specific religious beliefs, but I do believe that there are angelic type beings out there.
Yeah.
I call them angels for lack of a better term, but something of that, you know, high vibrational compassion, love, and protection.
Yes.
And I say, you know, place an angel on all four corners of my property and, you know, keep us protected and safe. And I just kind of basically say a prayer in that way.
Right.
And, you know, you can push that out and basically say only love and compassion are welcome here. And I like to use those more quote unquote positive sounding words rather than saying you're not. I mean, if you really need to get harsh, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, you are not welcome here, you know.
Right.
But rather than saying like no negative things here, no ugly things, no scary thing, you know, don't necessarily even kind of give it the acknowledgement of what it's trying to be, but tell it the opposite. Only love is welcome here. Only positive protection is welcome here. Only compassion is welcome here. You know, things of that nature, whatever intuitively comes to you that feels good to say. And, you know, if you need to, you can get into things like, you know, I want people to know that saging or smudging or using Palo Santo or whatever practice you use in terms of like cleansing your space, you know, you can use bundles of different kinds of herbs and lavender and things like that too.
Yeah.
Just doing that does not remove an entity or haunting. All that does is rebalance the energy in your space after something has been removed. And quite frequently you'll see people say, oh, you got to sage that place, you know. Well, that's not going to get rid of like a quote unquote haunting. Okay.
Right.
You have to get the ick out and then rebalance that beautiful energy inside.
Well, and it's such great advice, because there have been people that I've talked to and said, they've said, I don't know what's going on. This is happening. This is happening. And I'm like, you got to tell it. You know, and I would say, you're not welcome here. There's only love and light and all that. I did say that. And that seemed to help. And I didn't even think about using the sage or whatever you use for the rebalance of the energy in the house. I don't think anyone's ever really explained it like that. So thank you for that. I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah. And if you don't have something like that, or that's not the kind of thing you want, because I mean, a lot of them are kind of stinky. And it's not always pleasant smelling while you're in there. But if that's not something you want to do, put on, you know, I say like go to your TV. If you got a smart TV or something that streams, or what, use your phone, whatever it is, put on high vibrational sounds or music. And that can be, you know, sound bowls or chimes, or if it has to be, whatever your favorite music is that you blast when you feel so happy and joyful, whatever is going to create that energy in your space, you can do. You can also walk around and clap. Literally just clap. That kind of breaks that energy up, and then open the windows and let it fly out.
Nice.
I mean, there are all different kinds of things you can do to, I know people who beat a drum. I know people who do just simple prayer and chanting. You know, I mean, there are other ways. It doesn't have to be saging to rebalance the energy or smudging of any kind, but that is one of the most common ways, I think, in spiritual circles to help rebalance after the fact. Palo Santo is one of my favorites, because you're not worrying about the, you know, the lack of white sage out there, or the cultural appropriation where, you know, I'm just a white woman. That's not for me to grab. But Palo Santo not only will help kind of like clear out that negative energy, but is also believed to basically inject positive energy into the space. So you're kind of getting the twofer. you know?
You know, when I was thinking also with intention, can you simply light a white candle and just say, I light this candle to, you know, to rebalance this, the space?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Incense. I mean, I even use an essential oil diffuser,
yes,
you know, and things like frankincense or a lot of citrus is very kind of like happy, joyful sort of scents.
Okay.
Trees like frankincense or cypress or pine or black spruce, you know, yeah, those kind of tree scents are very grounding to the energy and to your body. Mm. So things like that are really great too. Like, especially, you know, I've cleared the house, I've cleared the space. Now I want, you know, really good grounded centered energy. You can do tree type things like that too. So
right.
Yeah, very much.
Great advice, because this is so good.
If you want to add a little extra even to lighting a white candle, you can actually rub some oils or scents or even herbs on the outside of the candle before you light it.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, just okay. A little extra.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the thing. And guys, this is why I adore this woman. She has given me such great advice on so many things. She's one of my best friends now. She knows that. And, you know, but she can do so many different things. She can, like I said, she's a psychic medium. She's an energy healer, as you just heard. And she can communicate with animals. And I know she books up pretty fast. So if you want any of her services, I'm going to add all of her information on the show notes. And Lee, do you have anything else you want to share with anyone?
Other than just, you know, I love to help people learn that type of empowerment and know what they're capable of. And, you know, even if I do readings or healings, if something comes up where I can try to help educate people, yes, I think that's important, because I think far too frequent. Granted, I'm happy to help you. I want to help you. That's my whole purpose here. But right, if you don't have to come to me because I've given you insight and advice that you can use, yes, then I've accomplished my job too. You know,
absolutely.
So I don't mind if somebody doesn't come back because I've given them everything that they need, you know,
absolutely,
do it yourself. I want people to feel empowered that way. So very much.
See, told you she was amazing. Lee, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're, of course, fantastic.
Thank you, Leslie. I've had so much fun. I appreciate it. I'm happy to do it again soon.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.